Well, I've been looking forward to this moment for a very long time. And I would like to say, personally, how really thrilled I am to see every one of you. I think there were going to be two people here at this conference that I didn't know personally. One was Carrie Sidner, who's here, who I'll introduce to you tomorrow morning, or somebody will. And the other is Agnes Mogre, the wife of one of the Ghanaians who was going to come. I don't know whether I've said welcome to everybody yet, but if I haven't, you're very welcome, and I'm thrilled that you're here. I've personally been praying for you and your time here at this conference, and I believe that God has brought you here in His plan and His sovereignty to accomplish a special purpose in your life and in all of our lives. And it's only sad for me that not everyone that I've been praying for is able to be with us. And you've heard Esther mention in prayer Stanley's wife, Monica, who has stayed behind. Their second child fell from a balcony about 3 weeks ago and was very seriously injured. And we just praise God for the way He has answered prayer for that little life and the way He's restored him. But obviously it wasn't right for Monica to come. And then Paul and Eki Kikule from Uganda, who've not been able to get, as far as we know, have not been able to get passports. At least that was the problem. And then the wives of some of us, who very much wanted to be here and weren't able to come because they have a responsibility looking after children. And then the folk from Ghana. And I would like us just, I know we've already prayed for some of these people, but let's just pause again before we start this first message, before we get into our conference. Let's just pause again, and each one of us quietly in our own hearts, let's just pray, whatever you've been praying for yourself for this conference, just take some time now and pray that for the people who couldn't come, who want to be here. Shall we just do that? Just in the quietness of your own heart. So, Father, we bring these requests to you, and what we've been praying for others, we pray too for ourselves, that you would work in our midst by your Spirit. We thank you that no coup of man, no problems, no difficulties, no accidents could keep you away from this time. And how we rejoice in that. We thank you that you're right here with us. We pray that all of us would be conscious of you. That all of us would be surrendered to you. That all of our hearts and our minds would be open to you. And that you would speak to us. Give us a deeper understanding of what it means to be a worker for you, Lord. Give us a deeper desire to be workers for you. Give us a strength and resolve to work for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that our theme verse is what? 2 Timothy 2:15, which says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. What a great verse that is, isn't it? Workers for God, workers approved unto God. I don't know whether you've read the biography of Jim Elliot, who gave his life as a missionary to Indians in South America. But he has a chapter in the biography that's entitled The Degree of AUG, Approved Unto God. That while he was at university as a student, That was the degree that he was studying for. That was what he wanted. Quite apart from any earthly qualification, he wanted to have the degree of AUG, approved unto God. And I believe all of us desire that, don't we? We want to be laborers, approved unto God. And this whole chapter of 2 Timothy, as I think probably all of you, or most of you at any rate, have been looking at it over the last few weeks, has many great principles of being a laborer. And you're going to have opportunity in our discussion groups to talk and discuss and share the things that you've been learning together. And you will notice that in the chapter, as you've looked at it, and in the notes that I sent to you, I drew your attention to the various illustrations that Paul uses in this chapter to communicate what it means to be a laborer. He talks about a son. He describes Timothy as a son. He exhorts him to be a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. And in the verse we've just quoted, to be a workman, approved unto God. And then he says that a man can be an instrument in the hand of God to accomplish God's purposes. And then he says we're to be as the Lord's servant in the way we conduct our ministry. Well, we don't have time to go into all those in one evening message, but I would like to focus on the first one, on verse 1 of 2 Timothy 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. A foundation of being a laborer. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To me, the illustration of sonship, because Timothy was not Paul's literal son, he was using it metaphorically. It was an illustration that he was drawing upon to describe the kind of relationship they had. And the illustration of sonship, to me, points to two great things about being a laborer. The first is humility, and the second is dependence. You remember the Lord Jesus, to illustrate humility, took a child and stood him in the midst and says, if anyone humbles himself like this little child, he shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. It's an illustration of humility. And it tells us something about Timothy and his humility, that Paul knew that he would not be offended to be addressed as a son. Timothy was a grown man. He was what we might call the bishop, as far as we understand, of the church in Ephesus. And yet he can be addressed as a son, speaking of his humility and his dependence. You will remember in 2 Timothy 2:22, when Paul writes to him and he says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy was humble enough to put himself under Paul as a son with a father, to learn what it meant to be a laborer. Luke 16:12 is a verse that points to the same truth. When Jesus said, if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? And all of us know people who want to be laborers for Christ, but they're too self-important, they're too full of themselves, they're too proud to be faithful in another's. They want their own. They want to be the man at the front. They want to be the leader. They want to be in charge. And they lack the humility which is vital to becoming a laborer. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction, and you will be wise the rest of your life. A laborer is a learner. A laborer is a humble person who learns. That's brought out in verse 2, isn't it? And the things that you have learned from me. And I think that's a good place to start in thinking about this conference, because we've come together to learn. Now, we've also come together to share and to give, and you've been invited here not just because I happen to feel that you had a lot to learn about being a labourer, but because I feel you've got a lot to contribute as well, and that there are a lot that others can learn from you. But primarily we want to come with a learning spirit, don't we? We want to come to learn, and I hope that we'll go into every conversation, every meeting, every mealtime with a heart to learn, with a thirst to learn. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and you will be wise for the rest of your life. I think that's the kind of person that Timothy was. He was a learner. I just wrote down four points of practical advice that I would give you as you start on the conference to help us to be learners. The first is Mark 4:24, where Jesus says, "Take heed how you hear." And then he says, "The measure you use will be the measure that you will get." Take heed how you hear. The measure you use in hearing will be the measure that you get. And then he goes on to say, and still more will be given you. Take heed how you hear. This time of year in Ibadan, I find it rather warm. By the time probably we get to the end of the conference, we will, some of us be feeling tired. Maybe some of you are feeling tired already, a little, you know, mentally weary, and it's hard to concentrate. And I noticed that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks like this, and he says, the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching. Now, I don't know what it's like in Nigeria, but I think it's probably true to a certain extent here too, that people like to be entertained. And that the culture that I come from is very entertainment orientated, and people like to be entertained. Well, I hope we can entertain you a little. But we also need to have a mind to learn, don't we, from the times together, even if it means a little endurance, a little extra concentration. Take heed how you hear. And then I have a favorite verse in Isaiah 30, verse 8, where God said to Isaiah, go write it in a note that it may be for a time to come. Write it in a book that it may be for a time to come. And I would just like to give this advice. As you take notes, just leave a margin. And as you're going through and God speaks to you about something, just put a mark in the margin. Put a star. That's what I've been doing as I've listened to Law in the last couple of days. I have my notes here. And every now and then I have a little star. And these are things that I especially want to go back and think about, because they were things that the Spirit of God convicted me about as I was listening. So let's be faithful. Let's work at learning all we can. And then 2 Timothy 2:7 in this chapter says, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Reflect. You know, it's going to be a busy time. There's going to be a lot of information coming across. I suggest you just try and squeeze a little bit of time away from people each day to go over what God has been speaking to you about, to reflect. To reflect over the messages, to reflect over the discussions, to reflect over the conversations you have. Maybe to jot down some questions that you would like answered. Or to make a note of someone that you especially want to make sure you talk to. And then we've got to resolve as well. We've got to determine in our hearts when God has spoken to us that we're going to go away and do it. And you'll notice in the program that we've set aside Monday afternoon for personal evaluation, and then there'll be a discussion group time where we can share together in smaller groups the things that God has spoken to us about that we intend to act on from this conference. And we can help one another in that way. But to be learners, a labourer is a learner. Timothy was a son. He was humble. He was a learner. The things you have learned from me. But then a son also speaks of dependence. In fact, we often refer to a person's children as their dependents. And it speaks to me of dependence. And Paul underlines that by saying, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And what a great truth to start our conference on. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. The undeserved help of God. It reminds us that we don't deserve the help of God. We don't deserve to be here. I think it's true that sometimes we think that in order to get God's help, we've got to be good. We've got to be extra special, and then we'll get more help from God. And the better we are, the more help we'll get. And maybe some people are coming into the conference feeling, well, I'm not very good, and so, you know, can God really speak to me? Is God, you know, can I really learn more about being a labourer from being here? I was reading Psalm 25 recently, and I came across verse 11, where David prays, "Pardon my guilt, O Lord, for it is great. Pardon my guilt, O Lord, for it is great." And I remember reading that Charles Spurgeon, the English preacher, said about this verse, "When you want to call the fire engine, you don't phone up or you don't call them and you say, well, there's a little fire, it's just a tiny little fire and it's well under control and, you know, we can probably manage, but if you could come sometime, it would be a help. If you want the fire engine to come, you say, there's an enormous fire and there's gunpowder and dynamite next door and the people trapped in the top story and the fire is boom." And that's how it is with us, isn't it? If we try and make our problems, our weaknesses small and try and pretend that we're all right like we are, that's not the way to experience the grace of God. That's not the way to get help from God. It was the man, wasn't it, who stood at the back and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's the way to lay hold of the grace of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I'd like to say, let's remember that as we come together to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're not coming on the basis of any goodness of ours, or anything that you've done or succeeded in doing, or on the basis of anything you haven't done. But we've come to be together in appropriating the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we need to be clear about that in our relationship with the Lord, don't we? In our relationship with the Lord as we go into this conference, that it's by the grace of God. And that it's to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know that verse in the end of Romans 5, verse 21, where 20 and 21, where it talks about as sin increased, grace abounded all the more. I remember a friend of mine in England telling me that abound comes from a Latin word, bundus, meaning a wave. And that the derivation of the word abound is to come in like waves. The grace of God keeps coming like the waves. The grace of God abounds. It keeps coming like the waves. I don't know whether any of you have been down on Bar Beach and walked along the sand there. And if you walk close enough to the waves, you walk along the beach, what happens to your footsteps, your footprints that you leave in the sand? Well, the waves just keep coming, don't they? And they cover them. And when the wave goes out, there's nothing there. Now that's the grace of God, is like that in our lives, isn't it? And even as we sit here now, the grace of God is abounding. The grace that we sung about in that hymn, amazing grace that saved us, that's brought us through many dangers, toils and snares. And the grace of God is abounding. And the things that happened before you came into this meeting, the things that happened in the early part of the meeting, the grace of God has covered them. And we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then in our relationships with one another, that we're being honest with ourselves. We're not trying to pretend we're something we're not. We could waste the whole weekend just getting to the place where we start being honest with one another. Now, I think I know most of you pretty well. And I could probably write a list on the board of some needs that I see in your life and some areas that I know you're struggling with in being a labourer. Well, I don't intend to do that. But you know too. You know the areas you're hurting. I know that all of you want to be effective labourers for Christ. I know that not all of you are being. And that we're not all being as effective as we might be. Well, let's be open and honest with one another about the things that we're struggling with. Let's remember that we're here by the grace of God, that we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're not going to be like the man standing at the front saying, I thank thee that I'm a labourer, that I've made 4 disciples, that I've memorized 3 verses a week, that I give so much to the navigators. You know, we're not here to do that. We're here to together seek God's mercy and grace in the light of our needs, to seek help from one another, to listen to advice and accept instruction, and to be wise for the rest of our lives. And I pray that as a result of this weekend, we will be a little wiser and a little more effective as labourers approved unto God. So let's just take some moments of prayer, and I'm going to stop now. And what I'd like to suggest is, just before we end, let's just have some group prayer together. And just as the Lord leads you, stand and pray. Pray loud so we can all say amen. And when 7 or 8 have prayed, Chris. Is Chris still here? Sorry. But when 7 or 8 have prayed, maybe, however you sense the Lord leading, just you would stand and close us, and then we'll finish with a song.